Okay, tonight we're going to talk about Shiras Dvara. I don't know if we'll actually get through Shiras Dvara tonight because it's so long and there's a lot to speak about, but we'll try and get as much as possible. What we don't get done this week, we'll get done next week. Now, Vatosha Dvara, we're in Parakeh, and this is the top right on this first page.
Before something that was bothering me last week. At the end, the Mephoshim, or at least the Perush that you brought, you'll probably want to get into it this evening, but that there was an affair, there was a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous.
Oh, yeah, we're going to speak about
it. You take it backwards, you say, Sara.
Yeah. We're going to speak about it, don't worry. Where the Dvora gets very. Dvora gets very explicit in the Shira.
The end justifies the means.
We'll speak about it. We're going to get there. That's at the end of the Shira. I don't know if we'll get there tonight, but we're going to try and do our best. And if not this time, certainly next time. It's a lot to speak about. Okay, so let's start with the Shira. Before, Vatosha Dvora, Varak Min Avinom Bayom Ahu Leimor. Now, the Mincha Shai goes into a long discussion here. You can't see it from the Tanakh itself, but this Shira is written in the Navi the same way Shira Sayam is written. As we call it, Ariach Al Gabe Levena. It's a brick on top of a half a brick. It looks supposed to look like a wall, but that it's layered, so it looks like a wall inside the Navi. And of course, we're going to see allusions throughout the Shira to the fact that it parallels the Shira Sayam, the Shira which Bnei Israel sang when they came out of the Yamsuf. And here in this pasuk, the first pasuk, we find parallels as well. By the way, my notes here are also on the second to last and last page of the handout, if you want to follow along with them. We find in the Shira, of course, the word, in the Shira, in the Chumash, we find the word Oz. Oz Yashir Moshe. And Chazal say that this Oz is an allusion to Tchias HaMesi Min HaTorah. This is an allusion to the fact that those who died will be resurrected, because not just then did they sing, but also us in the world to come, then too Am Yisrael will sing the Shira Sayam. And here too we find in this pasuk where we have here, Vatosha Dvaru Barak Ben Avinom Bayom Ahu Leimor, we have the words Bayom Ahu. And that also seems to be an allusion to Vahoya Bayomahu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol, that great day when Mashiach comes, that then too the Shira will be sung. And this is perhaps alluded in the fact that the Shira is written like a wall. Ariach Agabe Levena means it looks like a wall. Why does it look like a wall? Because these are permanent. The nisim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes in the Bria, not all of them, but ones like Kriyat Yam Suf and the one here with Dvorah, have a permanent impact on the Bria. They are in fact parallel. When Bnei Yisrael vanquished Mitzrayim, when they vanquished Egypt, and they had the Kriyas Yam Suf, then they received Torah Shebiksav, and this is something which we're going to speak about later, and when they vanquished Sisra at Nachal Kishon, as we mentioned already before and we'll expand upon later, they received Torah Shebaal Peh. So these are things which had an impact on the entire creation. And it's interesting that we find, therefore, that these Shiros are written with not just the Pashat Pshat, but also there's a Targum here, and we're going to go through the Targum as we go along, which has a lot of very, very interesting allusions and allegories which the Targum builds into the Shira. Okay, and let's discuss that. Let's go on to the Pasuk Beis, and I'm going to read the Pesukim with the Targum. Before Pros be Israel, when there were great disruptions among the Jewish people, Bisnadiv on Baruchu Hashem, when the people volunteered to fight. Okay, this is the time when she sang the song. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dvorah is saying, when Hashem punishes Am Yisrael, when Hashem punishes us with all sorts of disruptions, then Bisnadev Am, when the nation volunteers, Baruch Hu Hashem, it's something which we have to thank God for. Why? Because if you find somebody to volunteer at a time when there are a lot of disruptions, it's a big nace. People who at the time when there are great disruptions, they usually go into their caves and they hide. If there's going to be Bisnadev Am, if people are going to volunteer to fight, then Baruch Hashem, we have to thank God for that. That's the simple shot in the pasuk. Again, before Pros Bisrael, when there are disruptions, Bisnadev Am, if we find people to volunteer to serve, Baruch Hashem, we have to thank God for that. We have to bless God for that. Now let's look at the Targum. The Targum goes to an entire different layer of meaning here. Kadmiradu Basis Sobaraisa. See, that's in the inner margin, in the small print. Kadmiradu Basis Sobaraisa, when the Jews rebelled against the Torah, Asu Aleon Amamaya. Other nations came upon them, Vitrovinu, and it caused them grief. They drove them away from their cities. Excuse me. The Katavu Lemebadaraisa, when they returned to do the Torah, is Gabruinuna Balaid Bavehon, they overcame their enemies, the Sarchunun, and they kicked them out, Mikolchum Arad Yisrael, from the entire borders of Am Yisrael. Bechain, and then Purnus Tuvar Sisra, on the disruptions which happened when we broke Sisra, the Cholmashri Yosa and all of his camp, Va'al Nisa and on the miracle, Uprukana and the salvation, the Sabbath Lon Yisrael which happened on Yisrael, Bechein Tovul Chakimaya, at that time when they banished Sisra from the land of Israel, the Chachomim returned, Lemesa Bebote Knishta, to sit in the shuls, Beresh Gale in public, Ulalofa Yas Ama Pizgami Araisa, and to teach the people the words of the Torah, therefore Bechein Berichu, bless Va'odu and thank Kadam Hashem. It's interesting, the Targum here is not just, normally Targum just tells you the simple translation. Here the Targum is telling us actually Medrash. And the Medrash which the Targum is telling us is that at the time when Sisra and Yavin were reigning, so there was a decree against the Jews that they weren't allowed to learn Torah in public. And then, when Sisra was banished, so then the Jews were allowed to come back and learn Torah in public. Now that dovetails with something else, which the Medrash said in the last parak, which is at the time that Dvorah was the Shofetes, there were very few Talmidei Chachamim. Very few scholars. That's why Dvorah sat under a tamar to allude to the fact that there were very few scholars, just like a tamar is very little shade, there were very few scholars at that time, because Sisra was in such great control, and because he made this decree, now when he was kicked out, they came back and they started learning Torah in public again. Okay, now you have to keep in mind, I know this is difficult, for me it's difficult as well, that we're going to learn the Pashup Shat and the Psukim, the way the Psukim themselves read, and then we're going to also learn the Targum, which is Medrash, and they're not the same thing.
But Sisra before?
Yes, the Jews were rebel. Jews after the death of Ehud had gone back to do bad again. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Sisra to conquer. Yes, not all of the land of Israel. We're going to see that later in the Shira. Some of the Shvatim, they were fine and dandy where they were living, and Dvorah is upset at them for that. But that's a little bit in the future. Let's go on. Shimu Malachim, listen to kings. Hazinu Rosnin, here are the nobles. And the Malachim points out that you always use the word Shema for the more important people. Like we know, Hazinu, it's the ones who are either more important or closer. Hazinu HaShamai V'adaber V'Sishma Oret Zimrefi. So Sishma, the people who hear the Oret, which is closer. That's who he said Shema to. So here too, Hadvar is addressing with greater attentiveness the Malachim, the kings. Shimu Malachim, Hazinu Rosnim, and also listen to the noblemen. Anochi La Hashem, I am unto God. Anochi Oshira, I will sing. Azamer La Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I will sing a song to God, who is the Lord of Israel. Now there's several things here, it seems to be very redundant. First of all, there's Anochi twice. She could have said, Anochi La Hashem V'Oshira. Why should she have to say Anochi twice? Besides that, what's the difference between a Shira and a Zimra? Anochi, a Shira, and then a Zamer. And why when it says the word Shira, why when it says the word Zimra, does Dvorah add Elokei Yisrael? Before it, she just said Lashem, and now she adds Elokei Yisrael. So there are a whole bunch of questions here in this pasuk. So the answers are, I believe, one level of answers is as follows. The Malvim says, and again, the Malvim, if you want to look inside, the Shvot HaShoftim here at the bottom. The Malvim says that whenever we find in Nach, the word, the name of God, Hashem, it doesn't refer to any specific demonstration of God's unique relationship with the Jewish people. It's God doing miracles, God doing wondrous things, but not his special relationship with the Jews. When we talk about a special relationship with the Jews, we speak about Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, the Lord of Israel. So here, Dvorah is saying, Hashem manifested his great strength in all the miracles which he performed for us. That's Hashem in general. For that I sing a song, a shira. Beside that, however, there's a zimra. Now the word zimra is a higher form of singing than shira. We know zemer, what does the word lezamer in Hebrew mean? It doesn't just mean to sing, what else does it mean? Completely out of left field. What else does it mean in Hebrew?
To prune trees
is a zemer. Lezamer is to prune a tree. To be mezamer and eitz is to prune a tree. So zemer has a sense of cutting. Zimras ha'aretz. Zimras ha'aretz is the harvest of the land. A zemer is something which uplifts an individual and brings him higher. It cuts him off from his day-to-day reality and makes him higher, makes him on a higher level. That's what zemer is. Zimra, David was Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. His Zmiros are not just praises of God, but they were praises which inspire a person, which uplift a person. So shir is a praise. I stand back and I see something wonderful. I say, oh, wow, what a wonderful thing. But zemer is when I really want to get into it. I want to uplift myself and join in and become inspired and part of this wonderful thing which I see. So Dvorah says, I praise God for the miracles he did. But besides that, since I know he has a special relationship with us, with Am Yisrael, for that, azamer, I want to uplift myself. And you know, every morning we say Psukei Dezimra. The purpose of Psukei Dezimra are for a person to uplift oneself and get closer to God, to prepare oneself for the ultimate bond with Hashem, which is the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So this is all part and parcel of the concept of Zimra, uplifting oneself, La Hashem Elokei Yisrael.
We often see them come together, right?
What?
We often see them, Shira Zamra, Ashira Hashem
Elokei. Right, and Zamra is always a higher level. You start with Shira and then you go to Zimra.
Since you mentioned at the outside, keep in mind the parallels with Hazi Ashir, where there's also Kefil Lashon.
Yeah, but there I don't know if we find Zemer.
No, not necessarily Zemer.
Yeah.
The difference.
Yes. Every time, right. So I think I mentioned this once before, I mentioned again, that the Malbim is of the opinion, as are many Mefarshim, that there are no synonyms in Hebrew. Right? Some Mefarshim, some Mishraim, synonyms, it's just for more emphasis. But the Malbim always makes it a point of saying, Lashon HaKodesh has no synonyms. They're always words which mean different things, perhaps slightly different, but they're always different. Yes, right.
I said higher or lower. I was thinking about
Zimri Ben Salu. Very good. Zimri Ben Salu is somebody who cut himself off, right, like as Kores, a negative way. That's a very good connection. Besides this, I think that the double Anochi here is significant. Because as we said last week, we know that as a result of the union of Yoel and Sisera came about Rabbi Akiva, who was the great propagator and the great scholar of Tersh Baal Peh. And Anochi Hashem Elokecha is, of course, Tersh B'Ksav. Reb Tzadok says somewhere, it's a very beautiful statement, he says, all the mitzvahs and all the Torah we learn are all intended to instill in us the lesson of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yitzrayim. It's all in order to bring us to recognize God and to come close to Hashem. But Tersh B'Ksav is very limited Anochi. That's only one part of Torah. There's a double Anochi in Tersh Baal Peh. And that's what Dvorah is stressing. Now we added on an Anochi to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That was one way of reaching Hashem. Now at this time, when we had this complete victory, not only did we be victorious over Sisera, but now Rabbi Akiva had the foundation for Rabbi Akiva has been laid, who is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Now at this point, we have achieved the second level of Anochi. And I was reminded, I went through what's Gematria of Anochi? What's Gemara? What's Gematria? 81. And there's a very interesting Medrash in Kohelis. Kohelis Zuta it is. And it's a very cryptic Medrash. I wrote it down here in my notes. Av Chachmasi Omdoli. That's Shlomo HaMelech says. Amar Abichamra Papa, Kol Torah Shlomadati Ba'af Niskaimoli. All the Torah I learned with Af, I remember. Now, Poshep Shai in the Medrash is that Af means Afapi. All the Torah which I learned with difficulty, even though it was difficult, I still put myself, focus myself, and work myself hard to learn. That's the Torah which I remember. But it's a little bit difficult to medrash. It always bothered me. Until I realized that Anochi, when preparing for the shir, that Anochi is the same gematria as Af. So Kol Torati Shalamadati Ba'af Omdali, another layer meaning me could be when I learn Torah. So Anochi Hashem Lokech, I don't just learn Torah as a discipline, as a science, as a area of knowledge, but I learn Torah in order to come close to God. So Anochi Hashem Lokech, that's the Torah Lishma, and that's the Torah which has remained by me, which I retain, which has made me a better individual. Okay, nice chassidish. So chassidish of Erdlach are good too. Okay, next pasuk. Hashem b'tzeitzcha miseir. This according to the Malbim. Now here, there's a lot of different mefarshim will say a lot of different things. According to the Malbim and the Radak seems to learn the same way. Hashem b'tzeitzcha miseir means God, when you left Seir, in other words, Seir is the land of Edom, Esav. When you left Edom. Like it says here, you strode from the land of Edom. Then right afterwards, this is at the time when they were about to enter the land of Israel. Flashback. The right before they entered the land of Israel. Eretz ra'asha gam shamayim natafu. Then the land quaked. And the skies poured forth. Gam avim natfu mayim. There were also very special clouds. Some don't know exactly what they did, which brought a special degree of water down to the land. And according to the Maamid, this is referring to the great miracles Hashem made when Am Yisrael conquered the land of Sichon and Og. When they came in the first conquest, which they did under Moshe Rabbeinu, when they came towards the land of Israel, to the Eber Yarden against Sichon and Og, the kings of the Amori, this was a time when God made great miracles. And that's what it's referring to, the quakes and the downpours which occurred at that time. According to Rashi, this pasuk is Hashem is Seir Ba, is referring to Hashem, I'm sorry, Hashem is Seischom Esir, is referring to the pasuk of Vezos HaBracha. In Vezos HaBracha it says, how does it start the pasuk? Where the Medrash tells us that God first went to try and give Torah to the Bnei Esav, to the Bnei Ishmael, and they all refused it because it had parts they didn't like. Don't steal, don't kill, don't be adulterous, so they all refused it. So here it's referring to that God's journey at that time. So if that's the case, I think that according to Rashi, we can continue further in the pasuk. Hashem b'tzeitzcha miseir, when you left Seir to give us the Torah, you performed great miracles. There was awesome thunder and lightning and all those great things that happened in Matan Torah. And also, im yirtza Hashem b'tzeitzcha miseir. It's a pasuk which describes God striding from Edom at the time of the ultimate redemption. It says, Mize Bami Adom, Chamutz Bugadimi Batra, and God says, Gasta Rachti, I went and I, you know, trod the Edomites down into the ground, you know, at the time of the Gulf War, so they made the connection Basra, so there was this whole, because that was one of the cities in Iraq which was being bombed. So this is Kodesh Baruch Dvorah, not just evoking the miracles of God in the past, but hopefully miracles which God will perform in the future when Seir is defeated finally at the end of time. Okay, that's the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. Now let's go into the Targum. Targum says, I skipped the Pasuk before. Let's do Gimel and Dal together. Shimu Malachaya, Da'asum Sisra Lekrava. Listen, the kings who came with Sisra to the war. Atisu Shiltoina Dahabim Yavin Malko de Knan. Listen, the governors who with Yavin the king of Knan. Lobichelaschon, now with your armies, Lobraschon, or your might, is Nakru is Gabtrun, did you overcome us? Uslaktun and take over on the basis of the Jews. Amaratavua binavua kodam Hashem. Dvorah said this in prophecy before God. I praise, thank, and bless Kodam Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem Oraisach, God your Torah, the Ahavtal Yisrael, which you gave to Am Yisrael, Kad Avrin Allah, when we transgress it, Havashotim Bonam Amayo, the nations take hold of us. The Kad Taivin La, and when we return to the Torah, Mizgabrini Nunaba Leid Vavihon, we overcome our enemies. Hashem, God, b'yom itzkal leisach, when you revealed yourself from matzvano lahon miseir, to give us the Torah from seir, b'hon itzkal leisach, at that time revealed yourself, b'fa'usi karach, when you displayed your great honor, al tchumei Edom, on the boundaries of Edom, arazot, in other words, both times, both at Sinai, and later on at the time of Edom, on the borders when they came to Sichon and Og, arazot, the nation, the land trembled, afshemaya tofu, nechu, so to the skies were beaten, af ananaya negidu mitra, so to the clouds gave forth their rain. So the Targum adds several things here which are not in the pasuk about how Dvorah said, this is the way things work. If Jews do Torah, then things go bad, it's good for them. They get miracles. When they don't do the Torah, then things go bad for them. And he's the Horim Nozul, let's go to Pasuk, okay? Horim Nozul Mipnei Hashem. The nation, the hills gave forth their water before God. These Zesinai Mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Now, let's see what the. Let me explain it. According to Mavi, these miracles happen in front of Hashem. In other words, these miracles happen because Hashem brought them out. Who? A. Gave Mipnei Zesinai. Excuse me. Let me start the pasuk over again. Harim Nozul Mipnei Hashem, these miracles which are described in the previous pasuk, which are the mountains overflowing, gushing with water before God, is before God, A, Zeh Sinai, who gave us the strength, Hashem Ozam Oitein at Sinai, B, Mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael, also in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our direct leader. Now here the Malbim is saying, the miracles that Hashem did, He did to us who He gave us strength, and to us who He is a special leader of. And this is just describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being our leader, and therefore He does for us all these miracles. According to Rashi, this pasuk, very interestingly, refers to the time when all the hills fought over who's going to get the Torah. At that time, you know, the Tavor and what Carmel and all those mountains came to argue about who's going to get the Torah, who's going to be the mountain on which the Torah is going to be given. And this is brought down. Not Rashi here. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not Rashi, it's the Targum. Sorry. Okay, it's not Rashi. Look in the Targum. Turaya Zomin Kodom Hashem. The mountains moved, they quaked before God. Tura de Tavor, the mountain of Tavor. Tura de Hermon, the mountain of Hermon. The Tura de Carmel on the mountain of Carmel. Nisrakshin Dain Dain, they fought with each other. Va'armin Dain Ladain, and they said to each other the following. Dain Amar, this one said, Alaisi Shrei Shchinte. I want God to come down and reveal His presence upon me. V'li Chazio, and it's proper for me to be the one. The day with Dain Amar, and the other one then said to his friends, Alaisi Shrei Shchinte, I want the divine presence to be rest upon me. V'li Chazio, and it's suitable for me. What did God do? Ashrei Shchinte al Tur de Sinai, He put His divine presence and revealed it on Sinai. Du Chalash, which was weak. Uze'er, and it's smaller, Mikol Turaya, from all the rest of the mountains. Dain Sinai, that is Sinai. Misragif, I don't know what that means, I guess quaked or trembled. Misragish, and was in awe. Usli, or it moved. Uslik Tanane, and the fire, the smoke came out. Kisnonadatuna, like the smoke of a furnace, in Kodom Diskalei Aloi Yikored Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because the honor of God was revealed upon it. So why did Sinai get it? Who remembers? Why did Sinai get it? Because they were humble, right? Because they made themselves small. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Balei Gaiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like haughty people. He doesn't like haughty mountains either, according to this Medrash. And what it was is that the Torah was given on Sinai because it was humble. Now, of course, this is all a metaphor. In other words, the mountains didn't argue. And Har Sinai wasn't given because it was humble, but rather God was just teaching us a lesson that not the highest place, not the most noble, and not the most rich, and not the most powerful are the places where God wants to be, but rather those who make themselves small and humble and are able to receive and realize that they need to grow and they need to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine assistance. So I don't see how this fits into the Pasuk, unless we say Harim Nazul Mipnei Hashem means the neds of the mountains fought in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's okay, it's a Medrash, and a Medrash doesn't have to fit in with Pashup Shah in the Pasuk.
Do we find very often?
Not very often, but there are places like that. For instance, by the Brachos of Yaakov Avinu, in Vayichi, the Targum does that, and we do find it in several other places, especially places like Zinu, Vizos HaBracha, we do find it in those places. Yeah, there are places where that happens. Almost always where there's a Shira or something poetic. Okay? Harim Nazumi, excuse me, Pasuk Vav. B'mei Shamgar Be'anas. Now it's interesting, we had a discussion once whether Shamgar was a Shofet or not. So we had, it sounds like Shamgar was a Shofet, because we identify him as being a period in Am Yisrael's history. So it sounds like he was in charge at some point. But look at this. B'mei Yoel, in the days of Yoel. Yoel, she was a leader. Yoel was the one who killed Sisera. And what are you talking about, B'mei Yoel? So we learn from this, who says this? Rashi says, Melamed Sha'af Yoel Shoftas Yisrael B'yamel. It's a whole women's movement back then. It wasn't just Baro, it was also Yoel. She was also a Shofetis. We don't know, it's not recorded when she did it, over whom she did it, but Yoel was also a Shofetis, it seems. B'mei Sham Garben Anas, B'mei Yoel, Chalu Arachos. People stopped going on the roads. Hochevo Chenesivos, and those who would go normally on the straight paths, and the Sivos are smaller than Arachos are. The Arachos are the larger roads. Ochein and Sivos are those who go on smaller paths, but their paths which go straight from one place to another. Yahu Arachos Akalkalakos. They had to go, Cholu Arachos means the caravan stopped. Arachos here means like Arachos Yishmaelim. There are no more caravans. Why? Because the roads were terrorized by the armed bandits from Yavin and from Sisera. And those who go on the roads, now here the word arachos means paths, and those who would normally take the straight paths, they went on the crooked paths instead. There was no way to go straight, they had to take a circuitous roundabout route, because otherwise they'd be ambushed and waylaid by bandits. Let's see the Targum here. Karchavu b'yomei Shamgar b'anas, when they sinned in the days of Shamgar, b'yomei Yoel and the days of Yoel, pasku odei orchon, people who would be able to travel stopped, davu ma'alchim b'shvilin, the taknina went on the normal proper path, tovu nevi ozlin b'urchon menagvon. So they started going in crooked pathways instead. Now I guess, from what the Targum says, that Shamgar and Yoel were not able to arouse the nation to do tshuva. That's why it was necessary for Dvorah to come on the scene. They were not, Karchov Yisrael means they were doing bad, and Shamgar tried, wasn't successful. Yoel tried, it wasn't successful. Dvorah then came along in the next pasuk, and she restores order. We'll see. Chagu Perazim Yisrael. Jews stopped living outside the cities. They couldn't live anymore, scattered, perazim, beyond the walls. Chodelu, they stopped. Why does the word chodelu, chodelu appear twice? It seems redundant. So, the Malbim explained that it was in order to emphasize that originally the Knanim were the ones who lived scattered in the fields. When the Jews came into the land of Israel, they beat back the Canaanim, the Canaanites, back into walled cities. They no longer lived out in the fields. But now, Chagu Perazim B'Yisrael means that the Canaanim were emboldened by Yavin and by Sisera, and they were the ones who came back out into the open, and the Jews were the ones who had to retreat back into the cities. So he says, Chagu Perazon, this is the way the Malbim reads it, the Canaanim had stopped living scattered, but then when Sisera came about, Bisrael Chadelu, then the Jews had stopped living scattered and they had to withdraw back into their walled cities. And this is a terrible situation. Jews were living under siege in the land of Israel. Ad Shakamti Dvora, until I arose. Shamgar wasn't able to do it. Yoel wasn't able to do it until I arose. Dvorah. Shakamti Ein Bisrael. I came up and I became a mother. In other words, I became a leader, a prophetess in Israel. I was the one who was able to do it. And Dvorah was taking pride here in herself, patting herself on the back. She'll get punished for that in a minute. Yivchai Elok, now this is, the next pasuk is very difficult. Let's first see the Targum. Kadisariu b'nei Yisrael, excuse me, Karova Kirvei Pitzchaya, the cities which are open became ruined. Davu Yassin Bar B'nei Yisrael, which were in the land of Israel, it's the dia of Itautalu Direon, their citizens were afflicted and they had to move. Adishtalchi Ona Dvorah, until I was sent. Ishtarocho, I was sent, Lisnabot, to prophesy on the Beis Yisrael. Now, next pasuk I said is very difficult. Yivcha, let's read the whole pasuk inside in Hebrew, then we'll go back and translate. Yivcha Elohim Chadoshim, Oz, Lachem Bisharim, Magenim Rev Romach, Barbaim Elef Bisrael. It's a very difficult pasuk to explain. If you take a look at my notes, so I'm going to read from that, the way the Malbim kind of rearranges the pasuk. Yivchar Elokim Chadoshim means God had to pick new fighters. At the time when Yoshua conquered the land of Israel, morale was high. There were a lot of volunteers. People were really involved in the war. And now, as we said before at the beginning, Bisnadei Van Borcho Hashem, was hard to find people. When he found people to fight, it was pretty miraculous. So Yivchar Elokim Chadoshim, God had to draft new people into the army. Because there's nobody who wants to fight anymore. Why? Because Oz Lachem Bisharim, now they had to fight over their cities. That's a very difficult thing to fight. They're very depressed, very demoralized. As opposed to the old times, where they didn't have to fight in the cities. In the old time, they're fighting on the fields, the Knanim, they're on the offensive. That was easy to find fighters. But now, no longer are they on the offensive, they're on the defensive. It was hard to find people to find. Magenim Yirev Romach Barbaim Elef Misrael. There are so few fighters that the 40,000 original fighters, which made up the army of Yoshua, didn't have spears and shields anymore. They simply didn't want to fight. They were out of it. They didn't want to fight anymore. Those 40,000 soldiers had been at Tom Yoshua and the early days of the conquest disappeared. We couldn't find a single spear or shield left over from that time. That's the way the Malbim interprets the pasuk. One could interpret the pasuk slightly differently, which seems to be the pasuk shot. If you go back to the ancient pasuk, we had learned Yivchar Elohim Chadoshim, when the Jews chose new gods. In other words, when Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah, Oz, then Lachem Misharim, they had to fight with the Goyim because they were being oppressed because they were sinning. And then, where there is no shield to be found for Romach nor a spear, by Abayim El Bisrael, not only does God send the enemies against them, God deprived them of their defenses as part and parcel of the punishment. Now, the Targum has a completely different take on this pasuk. Let's see the Targum. The Targum says, when the Jews started worshipping idolatry, that's Yivchar Elohim Chadoshim, Chadaton, new idols, the Mikariv Yisavida, which were newly made, the Lois Asikubon Avuhoson, which their forefathers didn't have, Asulein Amamayo, the nations came against them, Utradunun, and evicted them, Mikir Vehon, from their cities, Avikatavu Lilmebara Raisa, And when they came back to learn Torah, loichululon, they weren't able to overcome them. In other words, they were so totally vanquished by the goyim, even when they did tshuva, it wasn't good enough. And adis gabiru v'sfikalein sisra sano, to the point that then they were open for sisra the enemy, umeika, who came and oppressed them. Barba'in alfin, according to the Targum, the 40,000 going on sisra soldiers, who came with 40,000, Barbin Alfin Reshe Mashion, 40,000 heads of battalions, B'chamishin Alfin Acharei Siphon, 50,000 spear carriers. Beshitin Alpin, Acharei Romachin, 60,000 people carried on maces or whatever, Romachis or some other kind of spear. Shivin Alpin, Acharei Tresin, 70,000 which came with their battering shields. Besamnan Alpin, Mechatet Segiriah, 8,000 archers. Bar, besides, Mechami or Resichin, the Barzlo, the 900 chariots. Davu Ime, which were with him. Uzichoi and their riders. Koli Lane Alfaya, all these thousands. Koli Mishar Yasa, but in all these camps, however, Laichilu Lamekam Kodom Barak, they weren't able to withstand Barak, the Kodom Asra Alvin Gavar the Ime and the 10,000 people who were with him. Okay, so this pasuk going to the, again, I don't know if it fits into the Pashpashan pasuk. I don't think it does. But this medrash is describing in great detail the armies, the mighty armies of Sisera, which 10,000 Jews, without any weapons, they didn't have a romach, they didn't have a muggin, had to face down.
Or, you know, fundamental difference.
Yeah.
The pasuk itself would seem to be that Dvorah is self-praise.
Yeah.
That indeed should be punished for, etc. And here, the Targum is saying that it was Barak, the Moshiach.
Yeah, you're right. Barak was the savior, but it was that's true. But I think Zvor and Barak take credit together, because after all, Barak was Zvor's husband. So therefore, she's more. I don't think it's meant to, it means to de-emphasize Zvor. It just means that Barak also participated in it. I don't think the Targum is coming to de-emphasize Zvor here. Maybe. Anyway, let's go on. Levi l'chok, I have a lot to do. Levi l'chok k'kei Yisrael, I'm not bin ba. My heart goes out to the lawgivers in Israel, who were the only ones, I'm not bin, the only volunteers. You know, back then it was the yeshiva bachurim who went to war. The mechokikim, the ones who gave the law, who learned the Talmud, who were near, or whatever was there at the time, who were close to the Vara, who was the Shofetes, they were the ones, I'm not bin ba'am, who came to volunteer, Baruch Hashem. We have to thank God that they were able, they came, and they volunteered to be the 10,000 people to fight. Okay?
Anyone was offensive or defensive?
Offensive, when they came to fight Sisera, so they were the ones that volunteered.
The Hezer Yeshiva. That's no big deal, because when it's offensive, there's no problem raising 40.
No, but this time they did. This time they really had a problem. And you know, some of them wouldn't come because they were afraid. Later we're going to see some of them didn't come because they didn't care. We're going to come to that in a couple of minutes. Here it was very difficult to find volunteers. Rochvei Asonos Tzuchoros. I'll do the Targum in a second. Rochvei Asonos Tzuchoros. There are three types of people who came. Rochvei Asonos Tzuchoros. The people who ride the white donkeys, they were the merchants. Yoshvei Amadin, so it wasn't just Mechokikim, it was also merchants. Yoshvei Amadin, the people who sit in judgment, those were the Mechokikim. Vahochei Aderech Sicho, and then also Vahochei Aderech, those are the people who go, the poor people, who go and they travel in order to collect money, in order to collect donations. Sichu. All of them discussed the miracle. Now, I'm not sure if this means that they all participated in the war, or just Dvorah was saying, look, the Gdolim, the scholars participated in the war. All you guys, the merchants, the people who sit in judgment, and the poor people, all of you join and discuss Sichu, the miracle. So I'm not sure exactly what she means by this, but certainly the primary part of the army were the Talmidei Chachamim. So let's see here the Targum. Amras Dvorah ben Nevuah, Dvorah said in prophecy, Ana Shlicha, I have been sent, L'Shabacha, to praise, L'Safra Yisrael, the Sofrim, the scholars of Israel, to Kad Ava Aksai, when there was this difficulty, Lo Pasku Milamedra Shmoraisa, they didn't stop learning Torah. Now, which is not praise them for going to war, according to the Targum, but for learning. Ukudu Yoy Lahon, and now that their redemption has occurred, it's proper for them, the Yasmin Bivati Knisha, that they sit in the shuls, Uvaresh Galei in public, Umaalfin Yasama, they're going to teach the nation peace, Gami Araisa, the words of Torah, Umavarkin, and they're going to praise, and they're going to bless Umodin and thank Kodam Hashem. Davum Mivatli Niskeyom, those who are who stop dealing in their own businesses, rechivena asnon de chashikon bechomin etzirin, they would go and they would ride on delicate on ornamented donkeys. I don't know why these donkeys went around with all sorts of ornaments, tzirin. But in any event, mahalchim bechol tchum ardi Yisrael, they would go all over the land of Israel, umischabrin, and they would come together lemita baldina to sit in judgment. They would go on the ways and discuss al gavuron the miracles which occurred to them in the land of Israel. Now it means that these Talmidei Chachamim, they didn't just sit and learn, but they went all around to all of Israel to go and teach. And this is very important. It's a very important thing which Dvorah did, because we know the Medrash tells us, we're going to talk about this when we get to Pilegesh Begiva. The Medrash says, what was the problem at the time of the Shoftim when Pilegesh Begiva occurred? They're great scholars, but what did the scholars do?
They didn't go out.
They sat and they learned for themselves. And they didn't go out and teach the nation the right thing to do. They should have girded their loins and gone around and taught the people Torah and Derech Eretz, how to live their lives properly. And since they didn't teach, that's why the Jews behaved in such a barbaric fashion later in history by Pilegesh Begiva. So Dvorah made sure that didn't happen. She didn't just let these guys sit and learn by themselves. She made sure they went down and they taught Torah and Derech Eretz, in order, Derech Eretz meaning Torah and Derech Eretz, in order that people should conduct themselves in the proper way in their lives. That was part and parcel of one of Dvorah's takanos in Am Yisrael. Let's go further. Mikol mechatzin. What sichu? We ended up the puzzle said sichu. Go tell over the miracles of God. What miracles of God should you tell over? What miracles are we now going to go and according to the Targum tell over throughout the borders of Israel? Well, mikol mechatzin beimashabim. Let's talk about the sounds. Mikol mechatzin means the sounds. Of the arrows, literally speaking, but it means the great uproar which took place bei mashabim, between the fountains. In other words, we know that the battle took place in Nachal Kishon, which was a spring-fed river. So mikom chatzin bei mashabim, talk about the uproar which happened between the fountains, between the springs in Nachal Kishon. What happened there? We know that God, according to this, actually it's clear, God made we spoke about in the last parak, Vayoham, God made a great confusion, great sounds, and as if great armies were coming to battle against Sisera, and therefore they got very confused and terrified and they ran away. So that's Mikol Mechatzin, the great noises which God made bein mashabim, between the springs. That's something we should tell over. That's one of the most wonderful miracles which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for us. That's what the Malbim says. Shomi tanut tzidkos Hashem, tell over the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that tzidkos pirzona b'Yisrael, now his justice or his mercy that he allowed us to rescatter ourselves in Israel. Oz yardu lashori mam Hashem, instead of our original fear, back when we had to go and hide ourselves behind our gates. So the miracle is the great uproar, which allowed us then to live in peace and tranquility, spread out again, as opposed to the beginning when we had to live behind closed gates. That's the way the Malbim interprets the pasuk. The other Mefarshim learned, Mikol Mechatzin ben Mashabim, is talking also about the troubles they had under Sisera. And it says that when we were living under Sisera, we were very afraid to go out even to draw water. We were afraid to make the slightest sound where we went. Because if we made any sound, all of a sudden the people who were laying in ambush would come down and swoop down and kill us. Or at least rob us. So therefore we're saying it's a great thing. Originally we had to go very quiet in hiding to get even our water. And now we can go and we can live out in the fields. We don't have to worry anymore. Okay, let's see the Targum here. From that play, that's Me'asar or Me'achar. Let's try Me'achar. Me'achar da'av onsin lahon, originally they were afflicting them. V'nasvi ma'ati bi'yideon. And they would take that which was in the hands of the Jews, based on Mechunas Listin, to their bandit's lair. Umesuvas mochsin, they put all sorts of tax collectors. Aguvin beishakaya, at the watering holes. They're smart. Where do they put the tax collectors? By the wells. So when the Jews would come down to get water, got to pay for it, right? Lasarta avon nafkum benosel Yisrael, to the place where the daughters of Israel used to go, lemimle maya. And therefore, the law of Yecholin Lashma Kal, when the Jews used to go to fill up water, they couldn't make any noise. Kal Tafas Pasin Raglan, even the footsteps of their feet, they couldn't let that be heard. Nikodam Sana, because they're enemies. Iko Tamon, who would oppress them there. Yodun al Zachvaseid Hashem, we should thank God now on his great schutz, in other words, on the great deed which he did to us, on the great deed, the Yosef Kirvei Patzchaya Bari, so that now we can live scattered. We came out of our walled cities, Lemita Bikirvei Patzchaya, to live in unwalled cities, Amid Hashem, the nation of God. Now we come to Tvorah's punishment. Tvorah, as we said, was punished for having taken the credit for herself. And Chazal says she lost the Ruach HaKodesh temporarily. At this point, she stopped. She couldn't go on. So Barak had to say, Uri, Uri, Tvorah! Arise, Tvorah! Arouse yourself! Wake up! In other words, he was trying to get her back into that inspired mood. Uri, Uri! Wake up! Dabri Shir! Speak your song! By the way, I don't recall who says this, but somebody says, from this Dabri Shir, we see that Dvorah didn't actually sing it, because of Kol Isha. She spoke the words of the Shir. I don't know if they say that seriously or not. I don't think they do. But somebody says that she was Dabri Shir, she said it over. She didn't actually sing it. All right, be it as it may. So then when Dvorah woke up Barak, Barak woke up Dvorah, and he restored her to a Ruach HaKodesh, so then Barak got up and turned and praised Barak. Kum Barak, arise Barak, v'shavei shivyecha ben Noam, and you should be able to take into captivity those who you intended to take into captivity. And we're going to discuss what that means in a couple of psukim.
Why logically could it not have been terminated right there? Why would Barak necessarily assume that there would be a continuation
of the song?
Yeah.
He must have seen that it was something which happened at an aberration. In other words, it must have been clear that it was a punishment from
not
Hashem.
Not from the Tochen.
He was there. He was standing next to her. No, you're right. You can't tell from the text. He must have been standing right there and seen that she lost it for a moment, that she lost the inspiration which she had, that she wanted to go further, and she was quiet.
So she was quiet. So why Kum Barak?
It's a good question. I'm saying that's what we're going to see in a couple of lines, that how Barak figures in and what she's referring to. I don't think it's clear from this line itself. Let's go and see if it comes clear later on. Okay, Azirat Srila Gibor Ladirim. Now, Dvorah focuses herself on Barak. Okay, once Barak aroused her, she focuses herself on Barak and says, Ah, Barak! Let's talk about you. Azirat Srila Ladirim. Then, when this happened, that all these travails were occurring, then the last of the mighty ones was Barak. Sari Ladirim Am Hashem, the last of that true nation of God, in other words, of those holy warriors, which Am Yisrael was in yesteryear, Yuradli Bakiborim, he came down with me, he came down as a warrior in order to get involved in the fight. Okay? That's one way of interpreting the pasuk. However, another way of interpreting this pasuk is that Azirat Sarid Bagiborim Ladirim refers, according to the Malbim, to Ehud, and she's going back in history, saying way back when it happened that the last of the mighty people, Ehud, got up. Azirat Sarid Ladirim Am Hashem Yeradli Bagiborim, he came down to fight with his mighty people. Against, who does the Ehud fight against? The Ehud fight against, who remembers? Eglon, the king of Moab. And Mini Ephraim Shosham, the Malbim says that this refers to Ehud, who came from Ephraim. He was from Shevet Ephraim. He was from Binyamin, but was followed by Ephraim. That was when he went back after he killed Eglon, he went to Shevet Ephraim, he said to Shevet Ephraim, you guys follow me now, let's go and finish off Moab. Bamolek Shosham Bamolek, and he went and he fought with them. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the Malbim does with the words in the Pasuk, but he says that they uprooted Amalek. Oh, Shoshum, not that their source is Amalek, but rather Shosh, they went and they uprooted. L'sharesh means to uproot. They went and they uprooted Amalek, because we know one of Amon's, one of Moab's allies at the time was Amalek. Acharecha Binyamin ba'amamecha. They followed Binyamin. Ehud was from Shevet Binyamin. They followed Binyamin and in going down to fight this war. And minima chir yordu mechokikim, in my war they didn't come. My war, I was only followed from Machir. This is Devarah speaking about her own war. I was followed by Machir, Yordan Mechokim, but only from Machir, who was Sheva Menashe, by people who are Talmidei Chachamim. Umi Zvulun, and I was also followed from Zvulun by Moshechim B'Shevet Sofer, again, by the Talmidei Chachamim, the people who were the scribes from Shevet Zvulun. So the person going to the Bible is talking about two things. At the beginning, she's talking about Ehud, who's followed by Ephraim and by Binyamin to fight Amalek. And then Dvorah says, but me, I didn't get any help from these tribes. Who helped me? Only Talmidei Chachamim, and only Talmidei Chachamim from Zvulun and from Menashe. And not all of Menashe, only from Shem Machir. I'm going to talk about a couple more tribes which came to help her. But in the meantime, she's complaining. Ephraim and Binyamin, they didn't follow me. Now, going back, most sources learn here that this Ephraim, not like the Malbim, this Ephraim refers to Yoshua, who is from Shevet Ephraim. Mini Ephraim, Shoshim Amalek means Yoshua fought against Amalek. And I'm sorry, Mini Ephraim, Shoshim, and Bamalek, I'm not sure what how they read it again. Wait a second. Mini Ephraim is talking about Yoshua, that I know. And Shoshim Bamalek, Acharecha, Binyamin, Bamamecha, somehow that refers to Shoal. Because Shaul HaMelech, who came from Shevet Binyamin, is the one who, of course, waged the war against Amalek and against Agag. So she's prophesying. She's not just referring to past victories against the foreigners, but also she's referring to future victories, which will come about by Shaul, who comes from Shevet Binyamin. All right, but according to the Malbim, it seems to be more smooth, because according to the Malbim, she's not prophesying some future event which is unconnected. Rather, she's going back historically, and she's saying, well, when Ehud fought, he had help from Binyamin and Ephraim. I didn't have any help. Oh, who did I get from? Again, only from Chamim, and only from Zvulun, and only from, in this pasuk, Menashe. Let's see here the Targum. Let's go back to Gimel Targum. One person came from the camp of Israel. The Tabart Kof Giborei Amamayin, he broke the power of the mighty among the nations. This was not from his own strength. Elohein Hashem, rather God, he broke before the nation Kof Giborei Saneon, the strength of their adversaries. From the house of Ephraim, come Yoshua Barnum, Mikan Meso came Yoshua Barnum originally. Agiach Krava, he waged the war, B'Zeves Amalek, against Amalek. Basroi, after him, come Malka Shol, came Shol, B'Zeves Binyamin, from the house of Binyamin. Uktalias, the base Amalek, and he too killed Amalek. Vagiach Krava, B'Sharamayin, he waged war against other nations as well. B'Zeves Machir, Nechasu, Kan Merashmin, B'Krava, from the house of Machir, they came down. I don't know the words Kadmarashin Bikrova means. I know what that means. But Mishivta the Zvulun, Kesivin Bakumus the Sfer Chon. From Zvulun, those people who write with a sharp stylus, they came down to fight as well. Now, a few other people came down to fight. It's a Sofer. A Sofer writes with a sharp stylus. It's not. It's just a term for a Sofrim, for people who are Talmidei Chachamim. Okay? Going to Tezvav. Visarabi Yisachar in Dvorov, the heads of the Sanhedrin used to come from Yisachar. They were called the Sarim, the nobles, because they were heads of Sanhedrin. So Visarabi Yisachar also came with Dvorov. Visachar came Barak, and these people from Yisachar came with Barak to war. In other words, they were with Barak because, of course, they were in Sanhedrin together. And then they also went with Barak to war when he went to war against Chatzor. Be'emek shulach raglav. When Barak went along, he went by foot. They were so poor they didn't even have any horses to ride. Barak went to go by foot to gather people, so Yisachar came with him. However, Biflagos Ruvain. Flag means to separate. Ruvain separated himself. The Shevet of Ruvain, they didn't get involved at all in the war of Dvorah. And Gedolim Chikike Lev says the Malbim, that means it causes great anguish to think about the fact that Ruvain didn't come to help us out.
Before Barak, before the wife and husband, yeah. He was very rich. Last time we said, they got everything. How he go?
He had a lot of money, but there were no chariots to be had. The Goyim didn't let them have chariots.
Oh.
So they couldn't have a chariot, so therefore he had to go by foot. You're right, he wasn't poor in wealth, but they couldn't have a chariot. Right. So in any event, here, so Biflagos Ruvain Galilin Chikike, the Malbim says Chikike means scratches or impressions. And he says that this means it caused great heartache. Literally, it grated on their hearts the fact that Reuven wouldn't come. Now, Reuven, you have to understand, at the time of Yoshua, Reuven got a chatzi Menashe. Reuven got in half the tribe of Menashe, which lived in Eber Yarden on the east bank of the Jordan River. They were always the vanguard in war. They were the mighty warriors who always went first. And they fought all the battles for those 14 years, for those 7 years when they fought to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Reuven was at the forefront. And here Reuven refused to come. They said, you know what? You guys have a problem on the West Bank. We're on the East Bank. Shalom Olai Napshi. We're at peace. I don't have to come to help you guys out. This is something I think you mentioned way back in the first class about how Am Yisrael was not a cohesive unit at that time. How there was a lot of tribalism.
Worse than that, they made a firm shua, they made a commitment to Moshe Rabbeinu.
That they would go out first to war. And here
it's a further loosening of the...
That's right, the confederation was not strong enough that Reuven felt an achrayus, a responsibility to come when there was a war being waged against Naphtali and Yisachar or whoever is in the north. That's their problem, it's not my problem. Lama Yoshapta Ben HaMishpatayim. Why did you sit... Ben HaMishpatayim means by the border. In other words, Reuven was at the easternmost border. And why did you remain there? On the contrary, the fact that you live on the border should give you sensitivity to know that since people face dangers, just like you face dangers from your adversaries, when you the other people face dangers, you come to help them out. Did you sit there with Shmoshri Kosa Darim just to sit there in peace and listen to the whistles of your sheep? I guess when the shepherds used to go out, they used to whistle to get the flocks to go back and forth. So you're just living there in peace. Liflagos Reuven, for the separation of Reuven, in other words, that Reuven didn't come. Gidolim Chikikreilev. The Malbim says this is sarcastic. Malbim says you don't need to explore very long. Chikre, you don't have to analyze the situation very much. It's clear that Reuven, you don't need Gudolim Chikrelev, you don't need great analysis to see that Reuven was apathetic. They didn't care. They taka, were very content listening to the whistles of their herds in peace and tranquility and not coming to help out the rest of the Jews when the rest of the Jews were in trouble. And he says, what was the reason for that? Why does it require chikre leiv? How do we know this? Because we know this is the truth. Gilad be'eber hayarden. Gilad is on the other side of the Jordan River. That's where they lived. Shochein, that's where they lived, the Reuven, and therefore they didn't feel that they had to come to help us in the west bank of the Jordan. V'don, not only Reuven was a problem, Don as well. Don, they lived in the south at the time. Later on, Don moved to the north. But Don at that time lived very far down in the south, near where the Plishtim were. That's why later on they moved north, because they were afflicted by the Philistines, so they had to move away. But they, them too. Lama Yaguranios. Why are they continuing to wage their commerce by boat, and they don't care? I know why. Says we don't need great chik relay for that as well. Doesn't require major analysis. Asher yashavu chof yomim, because they live by the shore, and they're also tranquil. They say, we're far away, we don't have to worry about the battles in the north. On its inlets, they live there in peace. Zvulun, on the other hand, the tribe of Zvulun, they Am cheref nafsho lamus. They are people who gave their souls over to death to fight this battle. For Naphtali too, Naphtali Amrami saw that on the heights of the war battle area, battlefield, which was right on Har Tavor, they came and they were able to fight with us. They assisted us, but the other people didn't come. Now, it's interesting, a lot of Shvatim are not mentioned here. Yehuda, Shimon, what?
Where they are?
Yeah, Naphtali, Asher, God. So I guess some of them must have sent token forces. But Reuven, this is just a hunch. I don't know if it's true or not true. But Reuven and Dan, they didn't send anybody at all. And that's why Dvor is particularly upset at them. Could be. All right, let's go back and let's see some of the targum on the psukim we missed. Where do we start? Tezvav. For Rav Rei Sachar, the heads of Yisachar, Mishtamim Lemila Dvor, they listen to words of Dvorah. Ushar shifted the Yisachar, and the rest of the tribe Yisachar, not the Sanhedrin according to the Targum, Misham Shinkarim Barak, they served with Barak, Mishtachim Mekibre Mishra, they were sent out to all the cities, L'chor Asad Yitzvich L'taman, to any place that they're needed, B'Sushlachtei, in his agency, Azlin B'Zar Yisru, Azlin, they would go, Bizaris Ruvain, however, in the tribe of Ruvain, Sagi Nikle Liba, there was a great amount of treachery in their hearts. Lama Saptumi Meshras Krava, why did you return from the battlefield? I don't know if they actually went and then returned. I think it means, why didn't you go to the battlefield? Namita Ben Chumin, to sit among you by your boundaries, the Parsha Sakra by the crossroads, Lemishma Besarta, Dramida, to hear news from each other. In other words, they're willing to listen to the news, they listened to the radio, but they weren't willing to come to the battlefield. Mevaraka Tunamrin, look at this, what they used to say in Targum. Levaraka tunamrin, to Barak you said, Dilach anachna. We're with you. Le Sisra tunamrin, Dilach anachna. To Sisra they said, we belong to you. They were playing both sides of the road. They were trying to say to Barak, oh, don't worry, we're with you. And to Sisra they also said, we're with you. You see how far it went? They're willing to play along with the enemy. Le Mishma Besura Lemeda Echar. I'm not sure how to read this word. Eda hi mashrisa nitzcha bekrava. They're waiting to hear the news. Which camp would win in the war? In other words, after they'll find out who win, they'll say, "Oh, you see, we were with you guys all along." And lemeve ime to be with them. Echte kashay lemeve lachon. The base Reuven. How was this proper for you to be in Reuven? Don't you know that I know what's going on in your hearts? In other words, I'm a prophetess. I know what you're thinking. The base Gilad, those in the base of Gilad remain on the other side of the Jordan River. The base Dan, those of the house of Dan, Gazru Avru Yardana. According to the Targum, the people of Dan, they went over the Jordan as well. They got so afraid, they didn't want to be in the line of battle, that they went to the other side of the Jordan. V'shaviyu nichsiyam b'sfina, the base Asher, and they put their property in the boats of the house of Asher. They got on boats. Al sfaya maya shru, and they stood out on the borders of the seas. Kirveya mamaya, the pagru tavu ubinya uvanin visiva bahon, and they went and they built. If I understand the Targum correctly, they went and they built cities outside the land of Israel. The people of Dan, they were so much they want to get involved that they went on the boats. They hired the boats from Asher, and they went out and they built themselves cities and goals. Rather than face the war, they went out and they tried to find a safe place to live beyond the borders of the land of Israel. Amazing thing. The base Zvulun, Kavel Amaya de Gadipu Kadam Hashem Esur Napsheim. The people of Zvulun, they were willing to give their lives to fight those who blaspheme God. Lekatola Inun, in order to kill them. The base Nafshali, Yishabchunun Kalame Arura. And the people of Naphtali should be praised by all the nations of the world because they too went out to fight and wage this war against Sisra and against Yavin. Okay, let's do a couple more psukim tonight. Ba'malachim nechamu. The kings came and they fought. Now, according to the Malbim, this is going back in history. The Malachim came, the kings came at the time of Yeshua and fought with us. Az nilchamu, then at that time, they fought against us. Malchei Canaan b'Sanoch, the kings of Canaan fought against us at the time of Yoshua in Sanoch, which is the city. Amei Megiddo on the waters of Megiddo. Betza Kesev Lo Lekochu. It was impossible to even defend them off with money. And that's what happened again now. In other words, it's a historic problem which we have. However, this time around, Min Hashamayim nilchamu ha'kochavim im silosam. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their pathways, nilchamu im sisra, they fought with sisra. Now, there are several ways of interpreting this pasuk. One way of interpreting it is that they caused great heat. There was great heat which came down from the sun and from the stars miraculously, and it melted the hooves of the horses of Sisra. It melted literally, they couldn't move. That's one way of interpreting it. Another way, which is the Rabat says, is that the brilliant light from the sun just rose in the morning, and it was a brilliant light, and it blinded the people of Sisra. Another interpretation which is given is that astrologically, the skies, the sun, the signs in the sky, the constellations rearranged themselves in a way which defeated Sisra. Another way is to say it's an allegory that the heavens, the powers of heavens, fought against Sisra. And we're going to discuss this later after we finish the parable. We'll come back and discuss a little bit more. In any event, they fought Mimsi Losam, and they fought against the people of Sisra. Now, he brings down here that he needed a miracle. One of them, first, brings down, I think it's the Malvim, that they needed such a great miracle because the nation of Israel themselves weren't worthy. They had sinned too much, and therefore they needed special assistance from a miracle. Had they been worthy, they themselves, with their army, would be able to defeat, by themselves, the Goyim. But since they weren't that worthy, therefore they needed an extra special miracle, that not just everything should be done naturally, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to disrupt the natural course of affairs to fight them. In other words, where Jews are doing the right things, they don't need miracles. Miracles are negative things. We don't like miracles in Judaism. Here they needed a miracle because they weren't doing the right thing. Had they done a miracle, they could have been all up Hidera Chateva. Nachal Kishon Graftam. And the also great miracle happened. Nachal Kishon is normally a very small river, but here it swept away all the chariots of Sisra. Nachal Kedumim, Nachal Kishon. Nachal Kedumim is a very ancient river. It's a very interesting language here. Nachal Kishon, Nachal Kedum, Nachal Kishon, Tidruchi Nafshi Oz, my feet will step with strength. Now, what does this mean? So, we know that it says, but by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayashav Hayom Likras Boker Leisano, that Kodesh Baruch Hu caused the nation to go, the Yamsuf to go back in mourning to a sono, to its strength, in other words, to its previous state. But Chazal dash in the word Leisano. And they say Leisano means, Tznai Yitna Kodesh Baruch Hu in my separation. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a condition with the Yamsuf from the beginning of time. That if you split, then everything is fine and dandy. If you don't split, then the whole creation is null and void. The whole creation will be destroyed because Yam Suf won't split. So what does that mean? Sounds like a very strange medrash. So clearly the medrash means to say the following. Nature must serve the will of God even when it's against its own normal rules. In other words, it's true that nature is a very powerful thing. And God doesn't like disrupting nature. But nature also is subservient to the will of God. And certain miracles are planted in nature from the beginning of time. In other words, there's a certain disruption of nature which God planted in order to take place at certain times in order to save Am Yisrael. So therefore, although nature is very strong, there's one thing which is stronger than nature. And that is the will of God when it comes to overcome the enemies of Am Yisrael. And that was already planned from the beginning of time. Nachal Kedumim. From the beginning of time, it was planned that there will be times in history when things will have to change in order to save Am Yisrael. Let's just finish this pasuk. The pasuk goes on to say that the Tidruchi Nafshi Oz, and the Malvim says, very interesting thing, that they were, even though Sisra was being swept away by the very powerful nation, though Am Yisrael was given a special strength to step over the river. To step over that river, which at the same time was sweeping away Sisra, to step over it through their great strength by the miracle and chase the remnants of Sisra's army away from the battlefield and vanquish them altogether. Let's just read this in the Targum, these couple of psukim. Atum achay davim sisra, the kings of sisra came v'gichu krava, and they wage war. V'chein agichu krava v'achay knam sanach, the kings of Canaan wage war m'sanach, m'sanach habushan, they were staying in Sanach. Umetana may Megidon, they came to Megiddo, Mamon the Ksaflo Kabila, they didn't accept money. Mitshamai is Gachimon Krova, they made war from the heavens, Measai the Nafkin Kochvaya, Mechabshe Dabareon, from the place where the stars come out, Mechabshe Dabareon, after those who lead them, Tamanis Gach Krova and Sisra, there in Shamayim, we'll talk about this next week, a spiritual war is being raged against Sisra at that time as well.